Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. I'm going to start with an article from Benjamin Krem's master, and following that there'll be one on the climate emergency, and lastly, depending on if we have enough time, some questions and answers, the answers given by Benjamin Krem. Here to begin with is the article by the master titled God's Representative. And it was originally published, by the way, in the 1987 issue, July 1987 issue of the Share International magazine, republished in the October 2022 issue. Whenever man is bereft of hope, seeing no way forward, no way to solve his problems, he sets up an instinctive cry for succour, an appeal to God to help him in his anguish. Thus it was during the war years earlier this century, speaking about the 20th century, that the travail through which humanity was passing invoked the Christ, called him forth once more into the world. Never before, through all vicissitudes, had so much depended upon his coming, for never before has man controlled such forces of destruction. Today the nations are divided as ever. Each claims to be the repository of the world's wisdom, offering men the choice between freedom and justice. How absurd it is that men should be proffered such a choice. Freedom and justice are divine, and that divinity is indivisible. There can be no freedom without justice, no justice bereft of freedom. Shortly, men will be offered the opportunity to end forever this travesty of truth, and so heal the breach between the nations. It requires but the simple realization that all men are divine, and have the same divine right to share in God's gifts and plans. Lacking such realization, men would know no peace. When men see the Christ, they will realize that they are not alone, that God's representative has answered their call and returned to help them. He will remind them of their source in divinity and of their kinship, brothers all. He will place before them the choices for the future and exercise his right of counsel. He will outline the steps towards a better life for all, a life more in keeping with the spiritual nature of man. He will teach and lead, and thus change the world through the actions of men. At first, progress may be slow as men grow accustomed to the benefits of change, but in due course the pace will quicken until all is caught up in a ferment of change. Nought can stop this process, for it finds its origin in the mind of God. Nought can for long resist the magnet of God's plan. Without doubt, the greatest hindrance to the plan's successful working is the present insecurity of men. They see around them a hostile world, feel threatened on all sides by penury and want. The nuclear threat hangs heavily over all. The counsel of Maitreya will show men that they have nothing to fear but their fear, that a blessed future awaits man if he will but act in his own best interests, that the intention of God is man's greatest good. He will show that men must act to create the world they want, that he comes not to save, but to point the way. He will empower all who take upon themselves the burden and joy of service. He will anoint all who share his burden. The upholders of the old sense the danger, but fight a losing battle. They seek to strengthen the walls of their citadel in vain. Their ramparts weaken as the tide of justice turns. Their buttresses betray them as men strike out for freedom. Into this turmoil, Maitreya has come to put his divine resources at the service of man. Now on to this article, again from the October issue, from the Point of View section, and it's titled New Blame Wall Street Campaign Launched as Climate Emergency Grips Planet. And it's by Julia Conley of the Common Dreams Organization. And she's based in New York, US. Hundreds of organizations announced plans on the 1st of September 2022 to launch a mass mobilization this autumn aimed at holding accountable those who allow destructive fossil fuel extraction to continue, specifically the Wall Street banks that have poured more than $1 trillion US dollars into oil and gas projects in recent years. The coalition titled Stop the Money Pipeline, which includes more than 200 climate action groups, called on people across the US to join Blame Wall Street public actions that are already planned in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and other cities, where campaigners will connect the dots between the extreme weather events harming communities and the corporations fueling the climate crisis. And Alec Conan and Ariel Swernoff, organizations with the Stop the Money Pipeline protest, said there are plenty of people to be angry at. Fossil fuel companies, which exist to make massive profits of poisoning our air, water, and planet. And they go on to say politicians who are bought and sold by wealthy tycoons and whose climate policy, years in the making, is still riddled with giveaways to the fossil fuel industry. And finally, Wall Street. As the Rainforest Action Network showed in a report released earlier this year, since the Paris Climate Agreement was forged in 2015, JP Morgan Chase has invested $382 billion in fossil fuel projects. Citi, spelt C-I-T-I, is the second largest funder of oil and gas extraction, pouring $285 billion into projects, and Wells Fargo follows close behind at $275 billion. Bank of America, Barclays, TD, and Morgan Stanley are also part of what the report labelled the Dirty Dozen, and are among the banks Stop the Money Pipeline will target with their Blame Wall Street campaign this autumn. Fossil fuel companies also rely on insurance to build their infrastructure, and the companies BlackRock and Vanguard are two of the largest investors in oil and gas projects. Conan and Swernoff wrote, "These companies could stop the flow of money to fossil fuels today, but they are choosing greed instead. When we look around at the devastation caused by heat, flooding, hurricanes, and climate disaster, and we think about who is to blame, Wall Street should sit at the top of the list." This autumn, the Stop the Money Pipeline will welcome anyone concerned about the climate crisis. Extreme weather, like the monsoons that recently caused unprecedented flooding and killed more than 1,000 people in Pakistan, and the fossil fuel investments made by banks that millions of Americans rely on to join or organize public actions across the country. And they say, wherever you live, and regardless of whether you're new to activism or have been organising for years, we want to support you in organising to hold the funders of climate chaos accountable. Noting that Stop the Money Pipeline will be offering training and one-on-one coaching for anyone new to organising. Although Pakistan is responsible for just 0.3% of greenhouse gas emissions in the Earth's atmosphere, they said, it is currently suffering a humanitarian disaster induced by the fossil fuel-driven heating of the planet. Catastrophes like Pakistan's, Europe's historic drought, and the drying up of China's rivers and lakes are happening because of a political and economic system designed to make some, mostly white, mostly male, people exceptionally rich from extracting and burning fossil fuels while the rest of the world is left to suffer, wrote Conan and Swernoff. And they finished by saying, it's time to get angry, take to the streets, and hold those responsible for the climate crisis responsible. And that's all taken from the Common Dreams website, which is commondreams.org. So now on to some questions and answers, the answers given by Benjamin Krem. He was asked questions pretty much every day of his life, and they covered a vast range of topics. So although he passed away in 2016, the editorial staff of the magazine continue to draw on this large recorded resource, and they publish these answers provided by Mr. Krem and his master over the years, none of which have yet previously been published in the magazine. So we start with a question relating to Jesus. In fact, the next few questions are on that subject. The first one is, does Jesus communicate with Maitreya? This was asked during a radio interview with Benjamin Krem on the Jerry Ryan show back in 1993. And his answer was, yes, constantly. All the masters are in constant telepathic communication. They share a mental consciousness, a group consciousness. They don't have a sense of themselves as a separated self, only as a group. From Maitreya's point of view, there is no separation between him and us. He said, nothing separates me from you, and soon many will realize this. I am flooded with communications from people who know our work, giving us experiences of where they have seen Maitreya or had a vision of Maitreya. He's appeared to them in various ways, and sometimes in the most unlikely settings and so on. And this is happening all over the world. Another question. You have described Maitreya as immortal. And I wonder then, does he possess the qualities that would traditionally associate with Jesus the Christ? Mr. Krem's answer. He has said, those who will look for me in terms of my beloved disciple, the Master Jesus, will find his qualities in me. Those who look for me as a teacher are nearer the mark, for that is what I am. I have not come to found a new religion, have not come to create followers. I have come to teach humanity the art of self or God realization. This is something which concerns all people. It is the goal of our lives. And the next question. Now, to those who may be very sensitive to the singular energy and spiritual leadership of Jesus, how can we explain to them what Jesus is doing in Rome? He's living in the outskirts of Rome, working through his disciples. Two of his immediate, rather advanced disciples are cardinals in the Curia around the Pope, and they know exactly the plan and work consciously with the Master Jesus. But Jesus has disciples all over the world. He is in charge, if I can put it that way, of the Christian churches wherever they are to be found. Does he live in a house? He does live in a house, yes, on the outskirts of Rome. Do you actually know where that is? I just know that he lives on the outskirts of Rome. I don't know the exact location. He's not my immediate master, you understand. So Maitreya is your immediate master? No, my master lives in the Himalayas. Maitreya is the master of all the masters. Can you tell us about your master? Well, I may say very little. He is one of the senior members of the spiritual hierarchy of masters. I'm not allowed to give his name yet. Maybe after the day of declaration, the open declaration of Maitreya, I will be able to give it out. But how does he contact you? Yes, I'm in moment-to-moment telepathic communication with him. So those were all questions and answers that were given during a radio interview in 1993. And we have time for another couple of questions. We're going back... Oh, actually, that was from the September issue, so we're going back now to the October issue. This is one very long answer and a very short question. The question is, how can we get rid of negative tendencies and repressed emotions from the past? And Mr. Krem's answer... by realigning our identification. The more we identify with the self rather than the vehicles of the self, which comprise the physical, the emotional, and the mental bodies, the more we rid ourselves of negative tendencies. Negative tendencies are the result of wrong identification. We identify with that which we feel. Mostly, we feel negative, we feel hurt, we feel nasty, we feel cruel, we feel angry. We think all that's real. We take it for granted that it's real. It's not real. These are only feelings that pass through. You didn't feel it yesterday. You may not feel it tomorrow. So, what's real about it? If it doesn't last, it's not real. It is transitory. Now, if you identify with that, those feelings, and make it last, you build it into your system. Everybody in this room certainly has a tendency to self-pity. Self-pity is a very negative experience. Everything is related to oneself. That creates the condition of negativity, and if you identify with it, you simply strengthen it. But if you don't identify with it, soon you say, "That's not me." You feel it, but that's not me. So who is experiencing it? Find out who is experiencing it. That's the important thing. You are experiencing, but who is doing the experiencing? You are the vital one. You, as the self behind the experience, is the vital one you are coming into contact with. You can say, "Oh, I feel so sorry for myself. Why do I have all these negative feelings? Why does nobody like me? Why am I not successful?" Everybody feels sorry for themselves at some point, and these are all angry feelings. But you are a God, an everlasting great divine being, with all the wisdom, all the power, all the love of God, potentially. It's potentially in your maker, and it has to demonstrate. And what prevents it from demonstrating are these negative feelings, feelings of inadequacy, feelings of self-pity, feelings of greed, feelings of selfishness. The big number one crass kind of heresy is the sense of separation. That's a major heresy. Get rid of the sense of separation, and you get rid of all these tendencies. They result from the sense of being separate and that everybody else is out to get you, to bring you down. We haven't got time for the whole question. I'll just finish with the last paragraph. Simply look, and if you look at the emotion without condemning it, but without indulging it either, you don't give it any energy. You just look at it. And if you look at it the right way, without denial, without repression, it dies and you weaken its hold on you. The more you do this, the weaker and weaker the connection of that negativity with you becomes. Then you're free. Assume the freedom you have. On that note, let's finish the program. Thanks for listening. For more information, check out the website share-international.org. And wishing you all a lovely week.